One memory did stick, if imperfectly. Sometime in that last summer, 1961, my mom took me to visit him in the Whaley Avenue Jail in New Haven. We sat at one end of the pitted wood tables in the crowded visiting room. The prisoners in their boxy prison dungarees and pajama tops all looked like the crayon drawings of flat, square-shaped men that my friends and I used to draw. I must have been shy that day. You had to be careful around him, because my father had to coax me. "Come here, let me look at you." He clamped his fist around my tiny upper arm and drew me forward. "Come here, you come all this way to visit? Get over here." Years later, I can still feel his grip on my arm, twisting it slightly, the way you would twist a chicken leg to tear it away. He had done a terrible thing. I knew that. No adult would tell me what it was exactly. It involved a girl and one of the empty boarded-up row houses on Congress Avenue, and the pearl-handled knife. That was the part that made grown-ups go quiet. My childhood ended that summer. I learned the word murder. But it is not enough to be told a word as big as that. You have to live with it, carry it around with you. You have to pace around and around it, see it from different angles, at different times of day, in different light, until you understand, until it enters you. You have to hold it inside yourself in secret for years, like the hideous stone inside a peach. How much of this did Lori know? None of it. I knew the moment I laid eyes on her that she was a nice Jewish girl from a nice Jewish family, and she would not consider me if she knew the truth. So I told her in vague and romantic terms that my father had a raffish reputation, but I had never known him. I was the product of a short, unhappy love affair. For the next 35 years, that was how things stood. To Lori, I was essentially fatherless. I never told her any different because in my own mind I was essentially fatherless. Certainly I was not bloody Billy Barber's son. There was nothing very dramatic in all this. When I told my girlfriend, who became my wife, that I did not know who my father was, I was simply saying out loud what I had been repeating to myself for years. I was not misleading her at all. If I had once been Billy Barber's son, by the time I met Lori I had long ceased to be, except in strict biological terms. What I told Lori was nearer the truth than the actual facts were. You will say, "Okay, but surely in all those years there must have come a time when you could have told her." But the truth is, as time went by, what I had told Lori became more and more true. As a grown man, I was even less Billy's boy. It was all just a story, some old myth that had nothing to do with who I actually was. I did not even think about it much, honestly. At some point, as adults, we cease to be our parents' children, and we become our children's parents instead. What was more, I had the girl. I had Lori, and we were happy. Our marriage settled into a rhythm. We believed we knew each other, and we were each happy with our conception of our partner. Why spoil that? Why risk the rare happy marriage, rarer still, a love marriage that endures, for something as common and as toxic as complete, unthinking, transparent honesty? Who would be helped by my telling? Me? Not at all. I was made of steel, I promise you. There is a more mundane explanation, too. It just never came up. It turns out there is no good time in the average day to announce to your wife that you are the son of a murderer.